So I want to talk to you today from a little bit different place and a little bit different way than I normally do. Because if we were to review my teaching, then we would see that the great bulk of it is about the truth of our experience. And it's primarily about the truth of our experience in the post-awakening state, isn't it? Some of it's about the pre-awakening state, but my emphasis is always the post-awakening state because that's what I teach. That's what I'm all about. If I'm known for something, then it's probably that I'm known for waking people up. But the truth is I only talk to people in an unawakened state one time, and that's in an awakening session. From then on, it's about post-awakening. And I have lots and lots of students who talk to me every week or every 2 weeks or every month or whatever in their movement toward greater and greater clarity. Because waking up is a good thing. Waking up is an important thing. Waking up is not the only thing. We don't even know that it's the most important thing. The reason I say that is I had a session this morning with a man in England. And he had started out his conversation, and I've heard this so many times before. I've had several awakenings in my life. So, well, which one was the important one? It's noticing that we can have an awakening, and that if we don't follow up on it, if we don't pursue clarity, that awakening can absolutely disappear. So I want to go beyond our experience today, because if I can go beyond our experience, then things can be seen from a little bit different level, and it may help us to clear up. So when we talk about the truth of our experience in the post-awakening state, what do we mean? We're talking about the way that we live, isn't that right? The way we're trying to, now that we're awake to the fact that no Fred, we're trying to find out how Fred's going to live in the world. How is the one who's non-existent, but nonetheless I seem to be hung with the unit, how is the non-existent one going to get along with his wife and with his job and his pets and his neighbors and all of that? Because awakening is a new seeing, it's a new view. It's a new view. And as a result of it being a new view, we just don't roll right into it. I mean, I try to help people get some orientation to awakening, even in an awakening session, but there's only so much you can do. And so what I want to talk today is about what's prior to any of this, what I want to talk to you about today is about you. I want to talk to you about what you are. And when I'm doing that, I'm talking about what I am, because we're no different. The same thing that's looking through your eyes is exactly the same thing that's looking through my eyes at exactly the same time. It's the same thing that's looking through 7 billion pairs of other human eyes, and it's the same thing that's looking through the untold zillions of deer eyes and rabbit eyes and dog eyes and mosquitoes. I don't know if the mosquitoes have eyes, but they're sensing, so it's the same thing. The same sensing is taking place. It's taking place through various sensing devices. This is a sophisticated sensing device. That's what it is. And it has certain specific patterns which you would identify, most of you would identify as there's Fred. And the truth is that when you're looking at this, you're looking at these specific patterns, but there's no one home. There's no one actually running this show. So what you're really looking at is Fred Ness. You're looking at condition as it reacts upon itself. You're looking as condition meets circumstance over and over again. The truth of our experience in the post-awakening state is the truth of our experience in manifestation, is it not? That's what it's all about. So we could say that it's the unmanifested having come to realize that it's now manifested, and it's, how do I deal with this? Now that I found out that I'm not this, I was doing fine as that human. I may have been suffering a lot, but I knew how to get through life, and now suddenly I'm awake, and I'm no longer so identified with this unit, but I notice that there's still identification there, and there's and that I'm hung with it, that it's doing what it's doing. And when I first woke up, I can remember being appalled at what this thing was doing, because I had pretty much zero people skills, and it just pretty much did almost nothing with any great skill in its life other than con people. So it was a master at something anyway, huh? What I'm talking about now is what you really are is prior to this manifestation. You know, we talk about, we read about the fact that, well, everything is consciousness. Everything is made out of consciousness. And that's true. But what I want to do today is I want to tell you that consciousness is an arising also. And that may come as something of a shock. And what I do try to meet everybody where they are, but I can't stay at a lower level and meet just people there. I've got to be able to come up here and talk to people up here too. It may not mean anything. This may not mean anything to you today, but since you're watching this, then all likelihood there will come a time when this does mean something to you. So even if you don't understand this video, tuck it away. And there'll come a time when you'll say, you know, but that's what he was talking about. And you'll pull it out and watch it. Then it'll make perfect sense. So this manifestation, it is made of consciousness, but this consciousness itself is an arising. Consciousness and manifestation, it's not that manifestation arises from consciousness. Manifestation arises with consciousness. Because what you truly are is you are that which is the source of all this. You are actually the potential for all this, rather than just all this. We cannot say that this oneness that we talk about, we cannot say that this oneness, which is the oneness, is the truth of manifestation. And we cannot say that this manifestation is not you, because you're it. So it's got to be you. But what we can say with absolute certainty is that what you are is not limited to oneness. You are not limited to this. You're not actually limited to anything. All limited things occur within you, or it would be just as accurately to say that they occur upon you. We're at the deep end of the pool, are we not? The reality, the ground of being. Notice that when we say the ground of being, we're not saying being. See, being is manifestation, is it not? That's what being is. Being is manifestation, which is consciousness. So being, consciousness, manifestation, all the same thing, at least for this talk. God only knows. So in this ground of being, it is just the potential for all of this. That's all. You cannot say, I am. Now, from this view, we can't say you aren't. We can say we can say you are unmanifested. But what does that mean? We use the unmanifested and the manifested all the time, don't we? I mean, we use them as if they're opposites. But they're not opposites. You know, emptiness and form are not actually opposites. They're different, but they're not actually opposites, because there are no opposites in the truth. There is no actual opposite to I am. There is a state where I am-ness does not exist, but that's not an opposite. It has no opposite. It's beyond I am or not I am. It's beyond beyond manifestation or our concepts of the unmanifested. Because what do we really know about the unmanifested? Nothing. What we can report about the unmanifested is that it's not showing up here. Isn't that right? That's about all we can report about it. We can't say it's big or it's small. We can't say it's old or it's young. We can't say that it's male or female. It has absolutely no qualities. So no qualities is not the opposite of these qualities. It's a different thing altogether. So when we say use the term, and I do it too, just so you know, but usually when I use the term, I'll stick to what I know. When I use the term unmanifested, it's because it's a provisional understanding. It's an understanding so that we can reach a provisional truth and see that truth clearly, because we don't like to talk about different levels in awakening, but don't think they aren't there. You know, we don't like to talk about it because we like this all to be, a big democracy and everything, but it's just not. There's one thing going on, and it is experiencing. That one thing that's going on is experiencing, full stop. That's what's going on. There's experiencing. Now, since I am experiencing manifestation, I don't want to just diss it by saying, oh, well, I am the unmanifested and none of this manifested stuff matters, because that's actually not true. This manifested is not other than me, and I am beyond an opposite to the manifested. Because the unmanifested is a concept that we have dreamed up. It has no meaning in reality. It's no meaning at all. It's just something that we've dreamed up in order to talk about manifestation. Because you can't have one thing without its opposite. You can't have a me without an other. You can't have an other without a me. You can't have a white without a black, or a black without a white, or light or dark, or whatever you want to say, zero, one, on, off, male, female, all of those things. Everything is dependent upon zillions and zillions, as if numbers make any sense here, but upon all of these polar opposites playing against each other. So we needed the polar opposite for the manifested, and so we made up one called the unmanifested. It has nothing to do with the truth. That's the thing to get here very, very, very clearly. I may still use it, but I'll always be using it as a provisional truth to help you see something, to help you see into one level so that perhaps we can help you to move to another. If you so desire, it should be made clear here that what I'm talking about is, for those of you who are awake beings, the reason I've always been reluctant to teach this is that I don't want to take a bunch of awake beings and turn them back into seekers, which is like, oh God, now Fred's talking about something new and I'm missing that, and I don't have that, and I need to get that and all that, and none of that's true. This is a way of understanding yourself so that you're not so locked into the view of the body. Because isn't this what pulls us back into the dream over and over and over again? We re-identify with the body, we re-identify with our story, and we go from this awake state, like the guy I talked to yesterday, awake so many times, wakes up, knows it's authentic, knows it's true, goes back to sleep, and what is the first thing the mind tells it? The mind says, well, Fred woke up. Fred had something special. And then Fred screwed up somehow and lost that something special, no longer awake. And now it's Fred's job to go and get that awakeness back, to get that enlightenment back for Fred. See, it's all built on the contention that there was once an awake Fred here. And that's not true. There's never been an awake Fred. There's not an awake Fred here now. There's no awake Fred talking to you. There's awakeness that's talking to you. And I understand that on this level, it's going to appear like I'm speaking through the Fred pattern. And we can go ahead and use that language. We just don't want to believe it. Because it doesn't hurt us to use language. It just hurts us if we believe it. It doesn't hurt. We don't suffer from what we think. We suffer from what we believe. When we believe our language, we suffer from it. So when we meet on the street, I'll put out my hand and say, "Hi, I'm Fred Davis." And you'll say, "Hi, I'm Bob Jones or Sue Carter." And we shake. But I never for a moment think I'm Fred Davis, right? I mean, I'm just like introducing you to my story so that we can then talk. And so you could say that I'm introducing you to a very low level provisional truth, which is that on one level, I'm Fred Davis, and that's the relative level. But on the universal level, there is no Fred Davis. That's the first thing that we really see. That's the hallmark of awakening, is recognizing there's no individual, that there's no individual me here. But typically, where our awakening goes is to seeing that, oh, I see, good God, there's only this, right? Because that we can't put a word on it. But we can put a word on it the way that most of us would think of it, which is there is only manifestation. And I see I've been telling stories about it. And in fact, there's only this. But it stops right there. Now I'm experiencing manifestation in a totally different way. And I'm getting it and I'm adjusting to it easily, or I'm adjusting to it or I'm not adjusting to it well, or I'm falling out of it, which is most often the case. When we say I'm falling out of it, what do we mean? We just simply mean that oneness is believing arising thoughts. See, you think that it's Barbara. If I'm working with Barbara, then Barbara comes to me in a clarity session in the hopes of clearing Barbara up. But there's no way to clear Barbara up. There's no Barbara there. So there's no Barbara there. There's no way that there can be a clear Barbara or a cloudy Barbara. So what we're doing is we're there to clear Barbara out, meaning we're simply there to clear out the identification, the misidentification that oneness has with Barbara. In the absence of a Barbara, and in this case, in the absence of a Fred, what's left in the absence of a Fred? Well, just this, isn't that right? I mean, if you do that with yourself, If you look around and you just drop all of your personal opinions for just a minute, you know, like I always tell my barber, you know, and he's asked me, "How you doing?" And I say, well, Fred, in the absence, because his name's Fred too, and I say, in the absence of my opinions, everything's going along really well. That's typically the level of awakening that most of us reach, and it's great. I'm not trying to downplay that. It's important. It's vital, and it's the most vital thing, because when we can see that, then we can see that we are oneness. And when we can begin to see that we are oneness and live as oneness, then the dream becomes substantially more skillful around the globe. And it starts in snippets where, you know, I've talked before, but this unit cannot physically take a peanut butter jar and put it in the trash now. It just can't. I have to recycle. I've tried, I swear to you, I've tried. And it's just too much awakeness here now. It won't allow it. So I have to pull it out, wash it, do whatever I have to do, but I have to recycle it. It's these little things that that add up in a zillion different ways, you know? I wasn't going to tell this tale, and I'm not doing this for egoic gratification. I'm telling you this because I'm trying to show you what I mean by these changes. Two or three weeks ago, this happened also in the winter, but two or three weeks ago, I was in a Walmart, and I had my groceries, and there was only one person in front of me, but of course, the line stopped dead, as it usually does when there's just one person in front of me at Walmart, and the person had overbought, they'd overspent, and they'd overspent simply because they're not good at counting, because she had not overspent a little bit. They were pulling stuff out by the handful out of this basket, you know, and they were pulling stuff like they pulled out like a little pail and a shovel, and they pulled out a big box of Huggies, which I gather are fairly expensive, and a bunch of, you know, and then a bunch of food and all this stuff. And I looked at what they were putting back, and I said, "Hey, wait," just to the cashier. I said, "Hey, wait just a minute. What happened here? Did she just overspend?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, put everything back in her buggy, and I'll pay for it." And there was never a thought about that. Never any thought whatsoever. It was just there's money here, there's not money there. There's too much here, so to speak. I know there's too much because I got to give some of it away over there before it's balanced. So it just happened in a flash. And the woman came over and she hugged me and everything. And she cried I didn't find it really embarrassing. I just found it like extra. I just found like too much, you know. I mean, I could just give her a hug. I couldn't even give her a big enthusiastic hug because somehow that was payoff for me. It is the way it would have been, I think it would have been at least translated here. So it was just like, yes, this is, there's no big deal. That's what I felt, is that there's nothing, no big deal happened. And that the it's just, who wouldn't have done it? Now, I will tell you, the funny thing is that about 5 minutes later, I'm going through the parking lot in my buggy, and Fred pops up, and here's what he said. $56? What are you thinking? And I was quickly seen through, and I moved on to the car, laughing at the Fredness thought, because I did not believe it. It wasn't a harmful thought. I didn't believe it. It arose. I saw through it. It fell. That's the way it works. So we change the word, the dream changes. The dream matters. Why does it matter? Because it's experience. What you really are, we can say the seeing, knowing of this and that and the other. What you really are is experiencing. That's what you really are. You are experiencing. And you are experiencing this. So it counts. It just counts in the same way that, you know, when I'm reading a novel, if I get a copy that's left out the last three chapters, I'm going to be hot. Even the last three pages, I'm going to be hot because, you know, I want to know what's going on. I'm vitally interested in that. When I go see a movie, I'm vitally interested in that movie all the way up to the end. If it's not, I'm going to find out, you know, I'm going to mark who made it poor and not go to their movies anymore, whether it's the director, the actor, whatever, writer, whatever it was. So the dream counts, here's the hard part, but it doesn't matter. And that's the truth. None of this matters. Now, this is not trying to take the juice out of life, because we don't act as if it doesn't matter, because it counts. It makes a lot of difference. The way I treat Betsy, trust me, is going to count. The way that I treat my dogs counts. The way that I handle my finances counts. The way that I treat my neighbors counts. The way I drive my car certainly counts. And if you're coming the other way, man, it's a big deal to you. So don't tell me that this doesn't matter. Well, you can tell me it doesn't matter, but don't tell me that this doesn't count. It counts. It counts, but it doesn't matter. And why is it that this doesn't matter? Because there's nothing happening. How about them? How about them apples, huh? There's nothing happening here. There's nothing ever happened here. You see, when we wake up to the world without its stories, there's still a little bit of, there's still this manifestation. We're still got this manifestation, just now it's story free. But when we see from truth, then there's no manifestation. I have, you know, get little exercises somewhere on the internet that talks about this. And we can do it sometime in a clarity session if you want to call me. Just long as I'm here, I as well plug the unit, for God's sake. It'll never forgive me if I don't. So but what you are is unbeing. Or a better term for that is, instead of you are not nonness, oneness, you're nonness. But oneness is part of nonness. Oneness is not beyond nonness. It is other than while being part of. A wave is other than the ocean while still being part of the ocean. In other words, it's a and that's what you are too. When I talk about noneness, understand that noneness or unbeing or none of these terms will do. There's no way to talk about what I'm talking about right now. It is absolutely impossible. It's another reason I don't talk about it. It's because it's frustrating. But if when you can see this, then the idea, because when I wake up to the fact, like, oh, I've been dreaming all this stuff, I can't believe it, I've been dreaming all these stories. But when we can wake up to the fact, oh my God, I've been dreaming the whole thing. and there's not even an I here, there's just dreaming. This is just happening. It's all happening spontaneously. In your truest state, you don't know yourself. See, let's look at what's born in manifestation, because that's our big fear, is I'm going to die, because I'm in and I'm out, right? And I'm just, oh, I'm going to die. And when I do, consciousness is going with me. And that's true from the standpoint of this unit, which means really nothing to me. I've got 7 billion more. So if this one has a good day, that's wonderful. If it doesn't, that's fine too. And it's not, and it can beg and plead and do this and that, but it doesn't mean I'm gonna change things to help it, because I'm not actually an entity. Do you get this? I am pure, and we could say pure intelligence or something. Okay, but that's not. We don't want to make out pure intelligence looking like a cloud. We just love to take these verbs and turn them into nouns. We just can't see. So what's happening is the mind is always trying to hold the awakening experience, and the mind cannot hold the awakening experience. The best the mind can ever do is behold the awakening experience. We use the mind to go beyond the mind, to see the truth. But what's born, if you go back, let's go back to that, and what we can see is actually born here is the sense I am. Because we can't say can we say that this body was born? That's saying that that if we do, we're saying there's an independent unit here that was born. And that's not true. More accurate to say that oneness squiggled. Oh, I'm Mr. Independent Fred. I'm going to live in this big life out here. It's just great. And I'm making all my decisions too. Meanwhile, you know, it can make no decisions. It can, but we can make one decision, and it's the only decision we ever have to make. We can choose from where we are looking. We make this decision in every moment. You can just decide whether you can look from the eyes of looking at this arising from the eyes of truth, meaning oneness, or whether you're looking at it through the eyes of Fred. Which is not going to be, which is not true. But whatever the world will arise to meet the view. So if I'm viewing things as Fred, then the world will arise to meet Fredness and Fredness's view, and which means I'll find lots of problems and complications and not a hell of a lot of happiness or bliss. But if I view it from truth, then I can see, oh, I see, it's all just happening. But that's from the truth of oneness. Is that it's all just happening. Because there's a higher truth, a deeper truth, which is that there's nothing happening. It's not all happening. There's nothing happening. How do we know that there's anything happening here? How do we know? We know that there's something happening here. For instance, this unit's moving its arms around. Its eyes are probably going crazy, as they usually do in videos. So how do we know that this is going on? And we can say, well, my senses, how do senses work? What's the most core thing? What's the most precious thing that you have? What is it that you will defend to the death, literally? That's consciousness. You think that it's your consciousness, not recognizing that you are consciousness. Because all of this, because consciousness stems from what? What is consciousness really? Consciousness is the sense of I am, and gnats have it, and elephants have it, and we have it, and it's all the same sense of I am. I don't know a great deal about the mineral world and the plant world and this and that and the other, but I can tell you, I can see a flower bend and move toward the sun. And in my mind, that's its story. I am. Pay attention to me. Because if that sun pays attention to me, if I get the light of the sun, then I'm going to thrive. If I don't, I'm going to die. And it's very much the same way with truth. So there is... what's born is this I am. And don't just take my word for this stuff, man. Test it. Do it for yourself. How do you know that it's the I am that was born? And not, it certainly feels like Fred was born, doesn't it? Certainly feels like a Bob or a Sue or whatever it is you are over there. It certainly feels like that was born. But it's not, because there's no independent thing here. What we're saying is that there's manifestation. What's born here is the sense I am. That's what's actually born. There's no Fred in the middle of the squiggly thing, right? There just isn't. There's no one home. What there is there's a sense of I am. There's a what I term the sense of being. And it's really simple. There's a sense of being here. You know, I just don't need to call Betsy and say, hey, I'm cutting a video and I'm thinking I'm alive. Can you confirm that? I don't need her to confirm that. I need her for just about everything else, but I don't need her for that. So this it's self-confirming to know that I am. Now, here's the strange thing is that I can tell you that I am, but I can't tell you what I am. I can tell you I am this, and that's a provisional truth. It's true as far as it goes. I am this. But this does not equal me. So I am not confined to being this. I am more than this. I do it too. It's part of the teaching. It's just provisional truths, which is, oh, there's only this. Well, that's true in manifestation, because this is when we ordinarily refer to it, we are talking about manifestation. When I'm referring to this, I may be doing it in that way, referring to it in that same way, but I'm always knowing, but I'm never believing that. I'm always knowing that this goes runs much, much deeper than just this manifestation. In your deep, the course, the in the deepest truth, you are nonetheless. We can't say you're nothing because you exist, and from you comes all of this. This cannot exist with you without you. You can't exist without this. Because you do. How about that for evidence? It's when there is not one of these, and I'm talking about a body, but particularly a human body, the only thing that makes this unit any more special than this Coke can is nothing to for the unit to brag about, but it's the fact that which is prior to manifestation can come to know itself consciously through one of these. It may can happen with ducks. I don't know. I'm not a duck. But I don't think that there's a lot of evidence that it can be done through too many more beings on our planet. Currently, there's no evidence that it can be done through any other, but I don't know that that's true. It does not matter. What it does matter is that it can happen through one of these. Therefore, that makes this, we don't want to make it more special, but it's useful in that regard. It's still just another tool. This is a shovel and you're a shovel. And this is a shovel and this microphone's a hammer and the camera is, they're all tools. This is a tool for one. This is not me. This is my tool. It is, and it only exists as a tool provisionally. Because there's actually nothing happening. What I am is I am nonetheless. I am the potential for all of this. And when there is not one of these present, I don't know myself. And I don't just mean just one of these. That means any sentient being. I'm lost when we go beyond sentient being. Everything is alive. I know that. But I'm not as clear as I am on sentient beings. with once there is a sentient being, there is the idea, there is the knowing, you know, the provisional knowing, isn't it? But there's the sure knowledge, it's the way it feels. And it is true on the experiential level that I am. But once that vehicle is removed, that sense of I am in that vehicle disappears. And we think, oh, that's my consciousness. I just can't let this thing die, because when this thing dies, I'm going to lose my consciousness. And that's absolutely not true. This body will lose its consciousness. Fortunately, that has nothing to do with you. God, I hope any of this is coming through. I bet it is. I bet it is for some of you. I bet it's coming through really, really loud and clear, because I been talking about this in clarity sessions for a while, and it seems to be getting it. And the great thing is, one of the reasons I'm letting the cat out of the bag here is that lately what I've noticed, and it's been going on for some time, but it just happened to happen twice in a row between yesterday and the day before, where I had clarity sessions with full-blown awakened beings. I mean, these were people who were awake, and they were brightly awake. They weren't completely clear, but they were awake and brightly awake, and both of them are going to end up being teachers. I don't think there's much doubt about that. But they had the intelligence and the humility, hats off to them, to come and want to be really clear before they begin to teach, so that they're speaking from authority and not conjecture, right? So that they're speaking from experience and not simply an understanding of somebody else's truth. So what I mean is that I noticed that the clearer this thing gets, the clearer the students that I seem to attract. Because I've been having lots and lots of sessions with awake beings. When I say that, lots of my students are awake, that's for sure. On one level or another, well, virtually all of them are. But these are people who woke up through another method. You know, they woke up through their own thing. You know, they woke up spontaneously through, you know, or they, neither one of them, as I recall, was in any tradition when they woke up. They both have backgrounds. One has a background in Buddhism, and the other one has a background in, I think, in Advaita. But it wasn't like practicing or this or that and the other that really broke it through. It just happened, right? And what I'm trying to do is to, as much as anything, probably. I mean, who knows? You know why I'm doing this video? Because I can't not. That's why. I don't know any other. There is no other way to answer that. But now that I'm doing it, it just dawns on me that it is maybe that, since I'm drawing a clearer level of student, which is a joy to work with, and there's plenty of people out there, and this just sounds so arrogant, I get that. I'm really trying to speak objectively. There are many good teachers out there who can help people who are in the unawakened state very, very skillfully, provided they're actually leading them toward awakening, and because you got to get it the way you get it. Not everybody can get it through me, because not everybody can hear me. This is a very skillful teaching if you can hear me, and it's pure gobbledygook if you can't. So, this teaching is for any level. God almighty, that's a hell of a thing to say. I can't even believe the unit's saying it. But it's for any level of awakeness. It seems to be. That's what's true. It's for any level that I know about. that's the truer truth. I mean, I don't think Ajashanti needs to come and have a talk with me so that I can tell him what's going on, right? But I'm saying that I can still help people who are nonetheless brightly awake, just not yet brightly clear. I don't know how I got off into this. So what happens is that there is simply the state where we do not know ourselves. Nisargadatta used to talk about this with the cigarette lighter, and he'd light the cigarette lighter, and that flame would come up, and he'd say, and there's consciousness. And then the then he'd close the cigarette lighter, and he'd say, and now consciousness isn't. You know, but the cigarette lighter isn't dead. It does not disappear. It ceases to be active in a conceivable way. And so we say it's out. But it's a long way from saying something's out and something's dead, you know? Like, I there was many a day in my drunken life where I passed out. But nobody came along and buried me, because there was no, it was quite clear that I was passed out, but not dead. Well, it's much like that. Actually, the passing out's a pretty good metaphor. There's, prior to the sense of I am, there is being, the ground of being exists. There's no being, because there's no I am, which is, I am and being, again, they transfer. It's the same thing. They're synonyms. There's no being. There's no I am. There is still, you exist, you just don't know yourself. You can't not exist because you are it. There's no opposite to you. You can't not exist because there's no opposite to you. You can know yourself or you can not know yourself, but you can't not exist. And it's not that you have two states because there, and there's no duality. It's just beyond words, and I'm not even going to attempt it. So, when one of these beings is born, that state of I am comes with it. That state of I am comes with it. And that, and now suddenly, what? I know myself. And that's quite literally the I am. Oh, I am. Oh. Now, in a bumblebee or a human baby, it's not really I am, it's really am. There's amming taking place. Once the moment that we actually adopt, the moment we begin to adopt the story, that we begin to tell ourselves the story that we are an independent entity, then at that moment there it's I am. Before it's just I am, and now I am. And at the, so the potential for I am was born. I am is born a couple of years later, when it takes on an identity. Now there's an I. There's an I that was born and an I that can die. But nothing that happens to this can affect you. It can win the lottery or it can die a terrible death, and none of that is going to affect you. You can't die. You can't be hurt. You are, as the Hindus say, you cannot be cut with a knife, burned by fire, drowned by water. You are beyond all that. You can't buy anything. You can't give anything away because there's no one to buy it from but you, and there's no one to give it away to but you. It's you, 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 everywhere you look. People wake up and they say that they have a spiritual awakening, and they look around and they see the face of God. They're talking about this. I see. It's all me everywhere, and that's the I am experience. You are now, you have gone from a state, stateless state, you have gone from a position of not knowing that you are to the position of knowing that you are. That's what's happened. You have not changed. Now, change is occurring out here because oneness is you when you're changing. When I know myself as multiplicity, I call it the world. And when I know myself as sameness, I call it the void. And in the voidest of the void, I don't even know myself at all. You see that? It doesn't mean I'm dead. I can't die. It doesn't mean I'm not here. There's nowhere I can go. This is it. See, and this is it whether, but when we say this is it, absolutely true. When we say that from a state of oneness, this is it. That's true. It's just the oneness. But even the oneness is a story. There is space. The world can be, as Nisargadatta said, the world can be said to be, but it cannot be said to exist. Because there is the experiencing of the world. So we know more than dissonant, and it's great, isn't it? I mean, I know we suffer and all that kind of stuff, but we're riding the roller coaster. That's why we're doing this, is that we're riding the roller coaster. It's experiencing when I am in, when I do not know myself, there is no experiencing. Now, I'm not experiencing anything other than myself. And that's the problem with oneness, is that when a oneness decides it wants to wake up to its true nature, it then goes looking for another oneness. How about that? The oneness goes looking for the cool oneness. Oneness goes looking for the more fun than this oneness, right? But there's only this oneness. So that's the great thing about oneness, it's just one of them. So I have no idea. I'm using a different technique, and I have no idea how long this video is. And I don't really care. But boy, we've opened the door to something here. And I'll be talking about this more on here. I was going to write a post about this, but I think a post is just impossible. I think the only way to even try to do this is in spontaneous talk. That's probably the reason that Socrates never wrote anything down, and the Buddha never wrote anything down. And a lot of these guys that we think of, they never wrote. Jesus never wrote anything down, because it's just another state. Then it's made static. If you watch this again, and I would recommend that you do so, but when you do, it's not going to be exactly the same thing as it was this first time around. But it's still going to be useful. So, what can I say? I mean, there's me and only me. So I love you. And I've enjoyed spending this time with you, and I hope that that we can do that again soon. See you later. Bye-bye, oneness and numbness.